Well, now it looks to my watch to be 7:03 on January 10th, 2024. And I'll call this meeting of the KPFT Listener Station Board to order and ask our Secretary, Robert Lee, to call the roll.
Okie dokie. Now, hopefully I've got this list correct here. Teresa?
Present.
All right. David?
Present.
Lillian?
Present.
Adriana?
Present.
Present. Joseph?
Joseph Davis is present. Thank you.
Henry?
I think Elaine Duncan is next.
Okay. All right. Elaine? All right. Absent. Let's see.
Lyndon Foley is next, maybe?
All right. So I've got an old list here then. I apologize. Lyndon?
I'm here.
And again, I've got an old list. I can go through this or we can kind of help me out.
Why don't I help with that? Okay.
All right.
So we've gotten through to, we did Davis, we did Duncan, Lyndon Foley, Henry Faust is next. Not here, Robert Gartner.
Now I've got that same list, if that's the case, Robert Gartner.
Okay, but there are some people who were on last time and on this time.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
Robert Lee?
Present.
Rob Lee? Yes?
Yes.
Mike Lewis?
Mike Lewis is here.
Cheryl Lynn?
Here.
Marianne Martinez?
Present.
Sean Kelly McPherson?
Yes, I am.
Great. Tori Mercer? Stuart Nance?
Present.
Rick Norris?
I am here.
Frank Pratka?
Present.
Jane Scheidler? I saw Jane earlier.
She's
with Gregory is here.
Okay, great. Debbie Smith? Bill Stone?
Bill, present here. Thank you.
You're welcome. Richard Uzel?
Here.
Egberto Willis? Not. Susan Young? Yes. And, we have our, GM is on as, 25th non-voting ex officio. So we have quorum.
Okay. Pardon me. The next item on the agenda is, approval of the agenda. Is there any objection to the
second?
Where was it posted? I didn't see it.
I believe it was emailed to all members. I know I've received it a couple
of
times.
If it got sent to the LSB list, none of that gets to me. I don't know why. I've been complaining since I got on the board. Is it brief enough to read quickly?
It's to your very personal address. And for some reason, you need to look in your computer and see where it's going. But I sent it to you very personally.
On this occasion, I will read the agenda for Mr. Davis' benefit. Call to order at 7 o'clock. We were at 7:03. Roll call. We've achieved quorum. The agenda approval, minutes approval, staff recognition, some comments of the new chair, that would be me, and the IGM report. Then we anticipate public comment. And after public comment, we The agenda calls for us to move to the delegates meeting to nominate 2024 PNB representatives. moving back to the LSB meeting thereafter, any unfinished business of which I'm unaware, new business of which I'm unaware, confirm the next meeting and adjourn. We have adjourn here by 10 p.m. certain. I don't know that we can't get all this done in advance of that.
Thank you very much, Chair.
So I heard it moved. I heard it seconded. Are there any objections?
No objection.
Then the agenda passes. Staff recognition. No. Minutes approval. I would like the last secretary has, Richard Uzel had, sent the minutes all around to everyone.
I would like to move for approval of the December 6th minutes. I couldn't get the December 13th ones because my computer's not working right. So for today, I just want to, the same minutes that I sent out last month, December 6th, I resent them again yesterday.
Second, I second that motion.
Are there any objections?
Make them every single time.
No objections.
Hearing no objections, December 6th.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I believe that, Mr. Gardner.
Yeah, there. Bob needs to mute.
Hi, Bob. Yes, if you will, please. Staff.
Well, as long as I'm connected, I would like to know why there was no notice of this meeting sent out this week. And also,
Mr. Gardner, I will call you.
Oh, you're going to interrupt me again.
I just did like you did last year.
I'll
call you out of order.
The hell with the
notice was sent multiple times beginning a week ago. Every other day we get a notice. I will call you out of order.
But you're here.
And you are here. Thank you. Staff recognition. Do we have anybody who wishes to commend those fine members of the KPFT staff who are doing the work to keep us on the air and produce good programming? I know Teresa does. Teresa? And you're muted.
Well, let me beat the rush. This is the general manager, Sam Weinman. His work is really greatly appreciated, and I'll just leave it at that. Thank you.
He is. I agree.
I would like to commend Robin Lewis, who has helped set us up to march in the MLK parade. And she's also helped process a lot of pledges that we've taken this week. Some people wanting certain premiums. Some people saying, hey, I've already given. Some people say, well, I thought I was giving. So I really do appreciate her follow-up because it makes everybody feel very special when their needs are addressed so promptly.
Mr. Chair, I would like to recognize, first of all, Howard. First, I'd like to recognize my cat who upends my camera. I recognize Howard. Not only is he a rock for us, I mean, what all he accomplishes in terms of being the engineer, but he's got a wonderful new program on where he takes call-ins, and I think he's just doing a great job, and I want him to know that. Also, I think that the Bob Sanborn team is doing a really, really good job. I think that they have upped our game big time. That's a big win, Sandy, for bringing that to the air and getting it funded. So congratulations all on those things.
I finally got on if you took roll already.
I think we're joined by Debbie Smith. Hi, Debbie.
Hello. Yeah, I had to go on my phone because I couldn't get my computer, my laptop to work.
I want to echo Susan Young's comments regarding oh Lord, I'm having a brain infarct. Howard Reynolds? Yes, thank you. Without him, I don't know that we would actually be on the air. And that's before he started doing what seems to be a pretty engaging call-in show. I think it may be premature to call him Superman, but he's doing a lot.
I'd also like to recognize Marlo Blue, who is an amazing person and who has to say grace over a lot of complexities for the program and stay in touch with many people. And I know every time I've reached out to her, she's been extremely helpful. So thank you, Marlo.
Are there any other members who want to recognize staff members?
I'll make a recognition.
Yes, Richard.
All the people that have been named so far, Robin and Sandy and who? Jane? What did you start to say?
No, I'm sorry. No, I didn't mean to. I'm sorry. I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
The same people that have been named. Who is that? Tori? Tori's here.
Hello, right here.
The same people that were named earlier. But I also want to add to that. I'm sorry. I'm having trouble swallowing. Otis McClay, because Otis is, you know, we're in a switchover where we got names going here and there, and some people's emails may or may not be getting dropped or whatever, put somewhere or something. And Otis is the one that's keeping up with all that stuff. And so far he's got most of it. Now there may be a couple people that fall through the cracks, but that's the nature of this time where we're in. And I appreciate him going to the trouble of keeping us together as we are.
And I apologize. I'd like to also add in, Otis is amazing. Not only does he help us, but he is instrumental system-wide. He does the Zooms for many, many of the meetings. And yes, he's got his hands full, and he just does a phenomenal job. So, Otis, I love to argue with you, but, yeah, you're the greatest.
Right.
Adriana?
Oh, okay.
All right. If there aren't any others.
Adriana?
Yes, Liliana.
Adriana.
Yes, Adriana.
Thank you. I want to recognize our business manager that is doing a very, very difficult job for the foundation. We don't have a business manager, we don't have a CFO in the foundation, and I think that Markisha is trying to do that job for the foundation, and I think that she's trying to keep up. It's very difficult to keep the other station in line, and I want to comment to Sandy Wyman, because as I said in the PMB meetings, APFT is the only unit in the Pacifica Foundation that is in the black. The red, all the units are in the red. And I want that being recognized. And I say it in the open meetings of the PMB too, because I think that need to be said. Thank you.
Hear, hear. All right. If there are no other comments regarding staff, I have a few comments, regarding the LSB meetings going forward. I've been here 2 years now, and, I've been all kinds of meetings, national committees and our own committees and the LSB. And I have a suggestion very strong suggestion that as we proceed, in the event that there are motions, and there often are, I'll get to you in a moment, Adriana, as there often are, I will commend to this body that we engage on a course whereby the movement, well, no, when there is a motion on the floor, anyone who wishes to move or motivate the motion has a minute and a half. You can make your motion. You can motivate it. You can tell us what's good about it. Any other persons who wish to motivate or debate the motion would have a minute and a half. That's 90 seconds. That's a lot longer than, that's actually pretty long. And from there, we go on a round robin. If we've exhausted all of the, all of those, people who are motivating or debating, and there's another round, if people wish to continue, then I propose that, that those persons on a round robin basis, have a minute. And after that's exhausted, if by any stretch of the imagination, if there's yet a third round, that, anyone who wishes to speak have 30 seconds, because the whole purpose of this is that people not repeat what they've already said. I mean, we can all do that. I could sit here for 10 minutes and say the same thing I'm saying in 10 different ways. But at the end of the day, I'm suggesting that we have 90, 60, and 30 second, rounds. And then we go to a vote on whatever the motion is. I think that as long as I've been here, there's been a discussion about non-disclosure agreements. I know I've signed a couple, and I don't know where they are or what they did. I signed one for the National Finance Committee, and I signed one for the LSB, which in the event we go to executive committee, or we talk about financial items, or we talk about personnel items, those matters are privileged to members of the LSB. And there is a template out there for non-disclosure agreements. I think that it would behoove us to clean that up and circulate it to all members of the LSB, so that we can conduct our business in the event we go to executive committee, executive session, in the event we talk about privileged matters, so that we can do that openly. And as I say, do our business. Finally, Susan Young has done us the very great favor. She has enlisted the aid. Yes, don't shake your head, Susan. I see you. She's done us a very, very great favor of enlisting the aid of, an accomplished parliamentarian. And that parliamentarian has provided, and it is on the kpftx.org website. It's at the top. There is parliamentary training. It is rudimentary. It is not an exhaustive examination of each and every permutation of Robert's rules. It is a very handy, call it a cheat sheet, of the high points, of those items that are designed to help us move our meetings along toward their objectives. It has been my observation that sometimes discussions of Robert's rules get off in the weeds. They're arcane, and they're designed to obstruct the business of the body. I commend that I guess it's a PowerPoint I commend that training that is those materials on KPFTX to everyone. I think it will help us. I think it will help facilitate our meetings and our business going forward. Any questions thus far before we talk about convening committees? I see a bunch of hands. I don't see a bunch of hands. I see Adriana, you had your hand up, I think it was.
No, I was trying to see. I couldn't find it, but no.
Okay. Susan, you had your hand up?
Yes, I have my hand up. There are a couple of things. One, regarding NDAs, and what I heard you say, and I don't think it's a bad idea, is that we kind of clean it up rather than using the one we have. But let me just say, at the end of 2023, we got everybody on the LSB, except maybe one person, to have what was then a current NDA. And pursuant to Joseph Davis's recommendation, those are being held by the ED. So we have a base of those. The new people on the board don't have current ones. So that's number one. And number two, about the parliamentarian, thank you so much for bringing it up. Dennis Clark, when I was first on the LSB, which is back in the 2000s, Ted Weisgall and Ken Freeland recommended that we all take lessons with Dennis Clark. Dennis Clark has since been the head of the Texas Association. He has a national reputation and clientele. He is really excellent. The people at KPFK asked him to give them a training. It was absolutely transformative to them. And that is what is on KPFTX. So, you know, someone like Joseph Davis, who is very up to speed on Robert's Rules, is probably familiar with Dennis Clark.
Rob, you had your hand up. And you're muted. Rob, you're muted. There you go.
There we go. Sorry about that. I was just going to say, I certainly concur with your observations, and I think it would be good to streamline the meetings and really be able to move ahead. So I don't know if it would be worthwhile to make a motion to limit discussions or you know, provide NDAs or do parliamentary training. So if that is appropriate, I would certainly do so, or we'll hold it for some sort of new business. I'll leave that up to you, Mr. Chairman. That's it.
Oh, well, you're asking me, and I said before I got this job, I am not leadership material. But let me say this. I did not hear any objection to my suggestion regarding, I'll get right to you. I did not hear any objection to my suggestions regarding, time limits, nor the non-disclosure agreements, nor, well, the whole parliamentary training was just a suggestion. I did not hear any objection. I'll call now for, are there any objections to first, the notion that we, limit and organize our time motivating and debating to rounds of 1.5 minutes, 90 seconds, 90 seconds, 60 seconds, and 30 seconds, and then taking a vote? Are there any objections?
No objections.
I'm sorry?
No objections.
Hearing no objections, that's the way we're going to roll. The non-disclosure agreements, that's not really a suggestion. That's kind of just what's necessary if you're going to participate in those closed sessions. So I don't know that really calls for any sort of discussion or vote. It's just a fact of life. If you're going to participate in executive sessions and discuss sensitive or confidential matters, that those need to be in place. Adriana, you have your hand up?
Yes. Yes, I agree with most of what you said. But I think that will be very important, too, that the people familiarize with our bylaws, because our bylaws are the first law that we have. Then, where our bylaws are not clear or are silent, then we use rubber rule of orders. And sometimes I want to remind people that sometimes in meetings, what happens is not that people are trying not to keep going with the businesses. People are trying, basically the people that are in the minority are trying to be respected and trying to be heard. And when the majority, in a way, use the time to trample over those rights, it's where you have problems. I believe that most of the time we have in Susan a very good chair. And most of the time, you know, that didn't happen. But sometimes we blame people trying to stop the meeting. No, I think that people want to be respected. We know that the majority rules, but the majority need to respect the minority because, you know, this is a pendulum. Sometimes you are in the majority, sometimes you are in the minority. When you are in the minority, you want to be respected. And when you are in the majority, you need to show respect to the minority. But like I said, please familiarize with Robert's Rule of Orders, but two, first one, the bylaws. The PMB, we are talking in the PMB this year to prepare something for all the LSB or all the new people with the bylaws, because it's very important that the people know if you are representing a foundation, that you know the rules of the foundation that you represent. I hope that the PMB finish with that and we put it together to everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Adriana. I concur that we should familiarize ourselves with the bylaws. As to the balance of your comments, that is exactly the purpose of my suggestion that we institute some time limits so that things can proceed in an orderly fashion and everyone can say their piece. So we still agree. Joseph, you have your hand up?
I think a lot of people don't read the bylaws because I think they're legalese and they can be a little intimidating. So all I want to say is I have read them and I was not a bylaw expert, and actually they're a lot easier to understand than most people realize. And I strongly recommend that everybody just read through one pass of the first seven sections, the first seven articles of the bylaws. That's less than about 20, 25 pages. And if you just have that in the back of your head, it will be enormously useful. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joseph. I don't see any other hands. I would move on to convening of LSB committees. And as I understand the process, I, as chair, am to designate convenors of the Finance Committee, the Management Selection and Review Committee, the Governance Committee, and the Outreach Committee. Y'all stop me if I left one out.
Pardon me, this is Teresa.
Yes, Teresa.
It's called the Development and Outreach Committee.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm writing that down. To convene the Finance Committee, the first one's easy. I will ask, Lyndon Foley, who was elected as treasurer, I will ask that, Lyndon convene the Finance Committee. I don't hear any vociferous objections or nor applause, so I'll just plow ahead. MSRC, I will ask that Susan Young convene that committee. She's been involved in the formulation of I don't know if system of review or some means of review, the last LSB, and I think she's got a head start, and I'll ask that she convene the MSRC. As to governance, and there's been a whole lot of back and forth over the last, well, since I got here about governance. And I had a note here somewhere, but having lost my note, I'm going to go on the fly, and I will ask Teresa. No, I found my note. I will ask Richard Uzel to convene the governance committee. And okay. Richard, is that all right with you?
You're okay.
And I know I had Teresa's name here, but I've asked that she, convene the Development and Outreach Committee. And I don't hear anybody.
I'll be happy to do that.
Down saying, not me, not me, not me. So y'all are stuck, like Chuck. You know, I'm liking this chair thing. We're moving right along at 7:35. I know that the, okay. So the next item on the agenda is the interim general manager's report. Sandy, would you care to proceed?
Thank you, Mac. Yeah, you are getting used to this chair thing. It's moving right along. So thanks. Welcome to 2024, everybody. And you know, the seating of this board, something that I appended to the report when I sent it out on Monday. Typically you'll see it arrive in your inbox on Monday from me. So you have a couple days to look at it. That way, if you have any questions, this is a good time to raise them at the end of my rambling here. But I also sent a calendar, an events calendar. To my knowledge, this was the first attempt at anything like this ever. It lets you know what we're signing up for as a, quote, staff or station where we're directing our energies to events, like the Martin Luther King Day Parade. Teresa was down to pick up those banners. Unfortunately, it comes so early in the year, and we just released this calendar, but other events which come later, like Art Car, or St. Patrick's Day, you can start planning your volunteer hours now and join in the effort, and maybe we can all build toward common goals, as simple as they might be. The calendar is a living document. If you have suggestions, let me know, or Robin, or Howard, or any of the staff. I'm not going to put this out to the general public as a living document that can be changed on Google Docs, but suggestions are greatly welcomed. So take a look at the calendar in addition to the report. As you know, we continue to operate without liability insurance. If you come to the building, we're going to ask you to sign a waiver. We hope as things proceed with the sale of the KPFK building and ultimately a $2 million cash infusion to the foundation that we will be paid back our $52,000 and that we provided for health insurance and at the same time, the foundation will renew its liability insurance. So that all should be, if I'm reading my tea leaves right, around the beginning of March, end of February. Our October fund drive, it funded fully. In fact, the silent drive in December funded fully. In fact, it went over along with Giving Tuesday. We went over, we were asking for $40,000 and wound up with a total of $56,778. Amplified Houston, the new show that's put together 9 a.m. right now on Thursdays, which will be expanded to other mornings of the week. Its participants are 501c3s, including the YMCA, the first one to pony up what was promised, which is annually $10,000 in two payments a year. They provided a $5,000 payment. Others in the group may have done that. I just haven't heard yet. The Miller Outdoor Theater did a forensic audit, and in 2009, there was a world music event that KPFT took a grant for, or got a grant for. This forensic audit showed that we were owed $6,213. And I want to thank Reg from Miller Outdoor for coming by with a check. Sometimes the coconut hits you in the head and you go, I discovered gravity. We have some new schedules, which I'm going to talk about in a little bit. But most of all, I want to thank Marlo Blue for all the back office work that every time we have to do this, all these parts and pieces have to change. Well, she followed through and got it all done. The schedules are posted on our website and take effect, I guess, this week. Including my show, which moves up to 12 o'clock. Additionally, Marlo got the December FCC report in good order. And I got to tell you, this is no easy feat either. You've got to bear down and get the details right. This stuff matters, especially come license renewal time. And we got a volunteer, quasi-volunteer in Marlo doing all this work for us. You see her, say thanks, Marlo. Let's see. We also got a $12,000 underwriting endorsement from the Cohen Law Firm. Again, in two payments, we've received the first $6,000. All those memory bricks, which are now etched, things are etched in stone. Ha ha. Maybe your name. I have a contractor that's going to be putting those bricks in as soon as a second tranche of bricks arrive. And that was predicted to be somewhere around the end of this week. So before January's, we're going to have a new look in the front yard with some of those memory bricks put down and hopefully more on the way. That's good stuff. Sustainer pledges. Got to keep working on that. Really good stuff. Mm-hmm. Our intern, Jaden Lee, working with Marlo and Rico, is working on a project that we hope to air when she's finished with it. This young lady is after a mechanical engineering degree. And right now she's getting her GED and associates all at once. So it's good. She's there on Fridays and is working on our project on Fridays, certain hours. Programming. In fact, I saw Marlo on this call. So Marlo, why don't you say hi before we talk about,
I am happy to say hi. Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Hi, everybody. Thank you all for doing this. Let me tell you about some of the exciting things we're doing for the new schedule. On Sunday, 8 p.m. Irish Airs, 9 p.m. Akua Holt's Pan-African Journal, 10 p.m. Afrotronic. Really happy to see all those going on. On Friday, we are the Jam Band show. It used to be the Jam Band Hour, but now it's the Jam Band Show. We'll start at 6 p.m. And the Houston Hour, that's Mr. McKinney, comes on at 8 p.m. before everybody's favorite, the Prison Show. And then on Saturday, noon is going to be Deadbeat, moving that up an hour. 3 p.m., Elevator Prozac with Clay. 5 p.m., Bluegrass Depot. And at 7 p.m., the extremely popular and much loved 50 Years After. And that's what I got. Thank you, everybody. It's going to be a great schedule, and we're getting a lot of great food back.
Thank you, Marlo. You know, during comment when you were complimenting everybody, someone said, I don't know if the station could be on the air without Howard. You're right. Wouldn't be on the air without Marlo. You know, we might be on the air without Robin, but we wouldn't have the money to pay the bills. Everybody is needed. Okay, everybody. And So, you know, this year we're going to, when I get to finance here in a second, I want to lay a concept on you and get your reaction from it. But Piraman's report, membership ticked up again by about 100 members, 2,896. We're up about, I think we started with something like 1,700 XX when I came in July 2022. So we've added over 1,000 members, maybe 11, 1,200. And we're on an upward build. A reasonable goal here has to be somewhere around 7,500. Seriously, right? Big number, it sounds like it, but we got to get there. Again, thanks to Otis for improvements on the website, including the now playing. He's on this call. We couldn't operate without Otis, another guy. We wouldn't be there at all. We delivered 150 winter parkas to the Houston Center for Independent Living because of the successful outcome of our last drive. That was a very cool event. And, there's a video up on our webpage of that. And thanks Howard for that work as well. The video that he's been posting. So, that's good stuff. We had a little informal gathering of programmers for the first time since I can't remember when, little pizza and beer thing, over at a local bar, And it went really well and everybody had a good time. And I hadn't seen some of those people in person in probably 5 years. So it was really good to get together. Again, thank you to Marlo Blue who coordinated all of that, brought us all together. Martin Luther King Day is coming up here. We're planning to be in the parade. And I think if you talk to Teresa, she's got the banner and the details if you want to participate. Again, first item on that calendar that I was talking about. We're going to be working with the Manna Food Pantry again. Di Conkling has again agreed to take the lead on that project. So food drive, everybody, in February is coming up with our February fun drive. Bring your shelf-stable foods, drop them by, and we'll bring them straight over to the Manna Food Pantry. That's part of the Houston Food Bank system. And again, events calendar, just want to say it one more time. In terms of finance right now, we have a total amount of $182,657.35 in the bank. That was a Monday. I'm sure it's a slightly different day on Wednesday. Restricted cash, this is grant money, $33,454. It's being used for items like paying the tower rental at Huntsville, which ain't cheap. I need to look into that and see if we can cheapen that up a little bit, make that work a little better at the same time. All of our contractors have paid for the month. Central Service has been paid. Harris County taxes on our building have been paid. So all our bills are current. And again, YMCA, thank you. Miller Outdoor Theater, thank you. And we are now receiving $18,896 in sustaining pledges. Our goal, $25,000 a month. We started out around $12,000 a year ago, October. Let's see, what else do I have here? Okay, we're going to be putting on a workshop. And again, I think Susan Young has volunteered to take the lead on this, maybe on the board side. All the board members that are interested, why don't you step forward? Let's talk about underwriting, what kind of underwriting clients we get, where the contracts are. They're right up on our webpage. They're there for all to view and tell you how this works. Maybe you know a lawyer. Maybe you know a business. Maybe you know someone that is willing to underwrite KPFT. They get an on-air announcement, et cetera. And there's a contract that goes with it. Again, it's very transparent. It's on the website. But we'll be announcing a short workshop, 2-hour Zoom workshop. And from there, you can see if there's anybody that maybe you know that would like to come in as an underwriter. Just today, we're finalizing the contract with a hot sauce festival. In trade, they're giving us a table and some cash, and we're going to run their announcements. We're working out the details on that. So these little drips and drabs start to add up and we get to a better and better place. We're about $250,000 shy of being able to fulfill what I consider to be a full staff. Five full-time equivalents, 3 full-time, 4 part-time. That's where we need to get to. We're nowhere near it. We need to raise the money to be able to pay people to take care of our asset. The volunteer thing's great. It really is, okay? And I appreciate the opportunity to do what I'm doing. I enjoy every minute of it, or most minutes of it. But in all candor, right, we owe it to ourselves to be able to operate this station as it needs to be operated. So step forward if you're interested. I think this could be part, you know, everything's in parts and pieces. This could be part of gathering up the additional funds. A lot of it's going to be on programming and programmers and our ability to get even more members and more sustainers and, you know, more and build toward that financial goal. But what we have now is just barely getting us by. I'll take questions if you have any.
Are there any questions?
I have a question. Sandy, in your report, you said that the, I think, fulfillment ratio right now on the last pledge drive was 68%. What right. do you expect it to get to, and at about what time do you kind of okay. cut that off?
All right. Appreciate that last drive, we booked an inordinate number of sustainers. We were pushing it, and we'll be pushing it again in February. Same deal. Okay. So a sustainer means that cash in the bank, you're going to get the first pledge, you're going to get 1/11th or 9% of the pledge. So that's where you start out. So we may be 2 months in now. So you got 18% of that group of pledges that are sustainers of the money, which makes that percentage 60. Wouldn't you say 62? 62%, Lyndon? Is that what you said?
No, 68, but whatever.
68, okay. When we reach the arc of the year, I would suspect that that would come up to somewhere around 95%. It's much higher than it used to be because of fantastic plastic. It's much more reliable. So, you know, 20 years ago, fulfillment rates were 80-85% was considered solid, but we've been able to increase that by the way we operate now. Just
I appreciate that answer. Is it you know, having putting in the context of the sustainers, it makes the whole it makes a lot more sense. It makes the math work in a different way. Thanks.
Right. Yeah. It's a machine. Susan?
Susan?
No, and I apologize, Sandy. This is not a question for you. I wanted to note that Henry Faust has come on the line. Maybe he can say a word so that the secretary can recognize him. And I believe also that Elaine Duncan is trying to get on.
Yeah, I am present.
There's no waiting room or anything. So if someone logs on, they should be here if they've got the log on information. Teresa, you have your hand up.
I'm sorry. I went off Wi-Fi accidentally, so I had to come back in. So I may have missed something. I was just wondering, if we are having any technical problems lately, like volume disparity or problems at the transmitter, and how are we doing it, dealing with those? And if you said something about Galveston, mm-hmm. if you would mind repeating it.
That's an excellent question. I really didn't talk too much about that. We had a DSL modem at the transmitter, which needed an update, for a while, and it was fussy. And it was dropping out pretty regularly. It's been updated and it's more reliable now. We're supposed to get fiber, but that's a date TBD to, according to AT&T. We have no idea when they're going to put it in. But today, even today, we had a dropout. I can't explain these things. Various servers will go down that handle the signal. and there's a firewall, et cetera, a whole IT network. It's much improved since that DSL modem was updated, but I'm still seeing, you know, today I saw one at, right around maybe 5 o'clock. There was a drop, and Howard confirmed that, and he doesn't know where it dropped at. It wasn't a power loss this time. We've had a handful of power drops at the transmitter. That's a center point issue. And there's very little you can do when the power goes out. Except maybe you have a Generac generator. You got to raise money for that too. And by the way, KSBJ, which shares our tower and has a separate block building at the same site, they have a generator.
Mm-hmm. How about the Galveston repeater?
Thank you. Yes, Galveston's up and running. It's in the Bryan Museum. We're trying to arrange a date to go back and put in a different type of a fatter coax cable, hopefully that'll handle just a tad more than we're pumping out now. So, when the weather gets nicer in the spring, we'll get up on the roof over there and mount the antenna. Also, when we have our liability insurance back.
Insurance would be good.
Right.
What kind of broadcast range does the Galveston repeater have? I mean, it's not like.
it's a 100-watt transmitter when it's cranked up all the way. But because of standing wave ratio concerns with the transmitter, it's cranked up about 3/4. Once we move the antenna outside, we should be able to, and put this different piece of coax on it, we should improve that. But long story short, Mac, it went to about 51st Street and Broadway down to Stewart Beach or the end of 45 and the beach, down Seawall to 51st again and out to Broadway on one side. And then on the other side, we're touching the Strand and areas around the Strand to the north and to the east.
Maybe not half the island, but near half the island,
the densely populated
towards the yeah.
Yeah.
You're broadcasting towards the population.
Right. And a lot of the businesses.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. It's a really good location. And again, thanks to Stuart Nance for identifying an old contact, writing a couple of really nice emails and starting that whole process that got us there rent free, people. You'll hear spots for the Bryan Museum. And really, if you're on the island, you haven't been there, 21st and M, go down there. It's really a cool place. Wander around for a bit.
Thanks. Thanks, Sandy. We have a couple more minutes until public comment. I know your name. I'm pretty sure your name is not Erica Sisonov, but that's what your little label says. What's your name?
Yeah, that's my nom de radio.
Okay.
Couple of quick questions for Sandy. 100 watts, that's, you know, like, is that an LPFM license? And are there any other FCC options for a regular power station in Galveston? And then question number two is, what place is KPFT in the parade? Does anybody know what number position KPFT is in?
Position for ratings?
No, the position in the parade. Like,
that's a Teresa question.
With HBJC and Extinction Rebellion, we're in position 111, 111.
That's a Teresa question.
I was hoping we would be closer.
I'm sorry. This is Elaine Duncan. I just joined.
Hi, Elaine.
Hi.
Teresa, were you able to?
So it is an LP license, to answer your question. And that's a Mo Thomas thing. Steve Brightwell at the time.
Okay. We're almost right up against, public comment. Cheryl, you've got your hand up.
Yeah, just super quickly. Sandy, I was wondering, based on what you said, I didn't realize that we weren't stretching all over Galveston. And at what point do you think, you may have answered this, I apologize if I missed it. At what point do you think we'll be able, or feel safe rather, cranking it fully? I'm assuming that'll get us to the west end of the island. And my reason is I grew up in Galveston, and most of the money, the old money in Galveston that I would hope you could tap into for the station is 61st and further west.
It's kind of where the Steve Brightwell's mother had a house there, I think of the story, and he had the thing in the attic, and then she sold it, and we had to get it out of there, something like that. Anyway, we were down kind of that end, and you couldn't hear the thing back where we're talking about now, which has all the businesses. So I can appreciate what you're saying. I'm familiar with what you're talking about, too. So, yeah, nothing's perfect. And can you get 90.1 down there is the question. You know, 90.1 still comes in as you're on the Causeway Bridge.
Are we looking for...
At least on my car radio.
Gotcha. Are we looking for a different location then, or no? You're happy with it?
No.
Okay, gotcha.
We looked for a location, and by good graces, we found the perfect location.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, and again, thanks to Stuart for that. We had found a previous place, but it was just no good. Okay. It was almost right across the street from the Railroad Museum.
And it was one story
pub.
It is 7:59 and probably a couple seconds until 8 o'clock.
I'll give you the information that I have on the parade.
Sure, go ahead.
I believe we're going to be 1:41 in the parade, and we're going to enter Allen Parkway at Taft, so we'll be in staging area blue. I know that Debbie Smith is participating, and Natalie Stewart, and if there are any other people that want to walk in the parade with us, I hope you'll contact me.
Thank you, Teresa. It's 8 o'clock. Do we have any members of the public who wish to speak? Thomas Harper, Captain Tom, you got your hand up?
Yes, sir. First, I want to congratulate you, Mac, for being the new chair for the LSP. And I also want to greet the new members. And going to be hoping to work with you closely. Teresa, I'll be back next month for our development and outreach committee. And I have been ill, so I have not been able to function properly, but I still want to be support of the radio station. Our concentration, instead of arguing and fighting, I'm really impressed on how the board is moving along, quite well. And back in the old days, we had to put up with a lot of delays. So this, LSB has not been able to complete their task, but now I see that there's going to be a lot of changes. Susan, you know how I feel about you. You know, you were a great chair, and but Mac is learning the ropes, and I know that he's going to have a firm hand in making this LSB work. Our committees, we need to recruit more committees, you know, more people for our committees, and what we need to work on, and I had suggested to Teresa about this in a text, that we need to promote sustainers, you know, build up our sustainership, build up our finances, and come a long way. If our programmers would promote sustainership, we would have less problems on you know, trying to come up with ideas for our fund drives. So I have suggested this to Teresa, and hopefully that she has passed this on to Standy. My idea is just simple. You know, have all your programmers promote sustainership. You know, every 15 minutes, you know, in their program. And that should help us a lot. And, once again, congratulations to all the board members, our new board members. And, that's all I have. Thank you, Mac.
Thank you, Captain Tom. There's not supposed to be any colloquy back and forth between members of the public, no responses. So I'm not going to thank Captain Tom for his kind words. Are there any other members of the public who wish to address the LSB? We have 30 minutes. And we've got, and I don't know who this is, a telephone number ending in 1438 has raised its hand. Would you like to address the LSB? Or not?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I believe that 1438, I may be wrong. No, I guess not. We were joined on the call by Elaine Duncan, and she did make a mention, but I wanted to make sure that...
That number is Nancy's.
So 1438 is Nancy?
Yes. Okay.
But I wanted to just make sure that people knew that Elaine Duncan is on the call.
Okay. Thank you. I don't see any other members of the public clamoring to be heard. Bearing in mind that we have 30 minutes to hear those comments, if there are no members of the public who wish to be heard now, and I don't want to move to the delegates meeting to nominate the PNB 2024 PNB members, because that's closed to the public and we wouldn't know if people wanted to be heard. So I'm going to suggest that we move, that we jumble the agenda enough so that, we can address. I don't know. I don't remember. The agenda calls for unfinished business and the note says none, but I've slept since then. Is there any unfinished business, from the ghost of LSB's past?
No.
Well, that was a short conversation. Susan, you have your hand up.
Yeah, I just wanted to note that the Assembly of Delegates, there is no public comment in it, but it is, but the public can be on it and listen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, okay. Absolutely. It's not closed. It's open.
Okay. Thank you. Learn something new every day. Teresa, you have your hand up. And then Jane, I think you had your hand up.
Yes, perhaps any people that are on committees can make comments about projects that they're working on. I would like to call people's attention to the fact that our next we've already scheduled our development meeting, which will be on the 6th of February. And it starts at 6 p.m. Central. 6 p.m. Now, it could possibly be later. We had moved it up so I could get through those meetings before attending National Finance. So it could very well be that the committee, when we convene, decides to be another day or a different time. But if you would like to participate and you are a new member, you'll need to attend the first meeting or ask for an excused absence. And those people who have, this committee doesn't really take a lot of votes because every project that we work on, it really has to be approved by management. But we try to be civil. So we try to use a simplified parliamentary process. So I encourage people to participate in development. And perhaps you're one of those people that just really wants to be involved in projects. You're not really interested in attending a lot of meetings. We try to have our meetings as brief as possible, and sometimes we have subcommittees that are working on a certain project. So make your interest known, and feel free to call me at any time, because I prefer to have people call me. So if we're talking, we can make sure that we're both on the same page. I don't want you to say, well, I send me an email and you say, well, I can't show up for 2 days and I don't get the message in time or something like that. So it's, especially if it's important, feel free to call me. Okay. So that's kind of a report from development on what we're working in. If you look at the schedule of events that Sandy has sent out, I don't know if he put the St. Patrick's Day parade, but we're looking for people that might want to participate in the St. Patrick's Day parade. Certainly it will be, I'm hoping and expecting that it will be a little warmer than this Monday. And if you are participating in the parade, you know, bring your mittens, maybe wear your long johns, loose clothing, several layers. But we always have a good time, and maybe we'll go out to eat after the parade or something like that, just for fun.
You're meeting.
I'm going to say a couple things. Mm-hmm. One, if it's not cold and raining on St. Patrick's Day, I don't know what we're doing having a parade. Okay. that's just how we roll. All right. Then, I want to thank you, Teresa. You actually called to mind something that I meant to say, I should have said, but I'm kind of new to this gig. And so I did not take the time to ask that those conveners, we named, Linda and Richard, Susan and you, Teresa, I asked that y'all convene those committees as soon as possible so that A, any work that is underway, as you've just described, Teresa, can continue. And that, you can establish voting membership and set priorities for the year. And thus be able to make reports, at the February board meeting. Are there any members of the public who wish to make comment?
Hey, Mac, let me ask Teresa, that date for your meeting was February the
6th. February the 6th, I believe, is a Tuesday. And it's already on KPFTX. Newcomers should check KPFTX and you kind of get a feel for how these meetings are. We have national board meetings and we have a local board meetings. So we will be asking people if they want to participate in national meetings also.
And that was the third thing that I meant to say, but didn't. KPFT.org, KPFTX.org. That's where all this stuff is posted. If you want to know who's meeting and when and what the link is or what the phone number is or where it is, that's your Bible. And so when you show up and say, well, I didn't get a notice. Well, if you didn't get a notice, you can always look because it's there. I don't know who doesn't get a notice. I get more notices than I can possibly digest. it's there for you to see if you have any interest in any committee, any meeting. I'm going to try to do these in order of hands raised because I still don't see any members of the public. Susan, you have your hand up?
Yes, sir. Yeah, there was a member of the public. I thought that, 1438 had her hand up for a while, or its hand up for a while.
I think you established that was Elaine Duncan.
I actually wanted to do a public comment, but I'm at work, so I missed.
Please go ahead. This is for. Go ahead.
I want to say, first of all, this is Vipa Todd. Congratulations, to the board. And I'm excited to see what happens this year. I hope that whilst moving forward, a lot of past things that this board has done are reconciled with and hopefully this is a new year and we see better actions from the board members and as a whole. And I do definitely have high hopes for this year. I spoke with the ED last year and she had mentioned that there was going to be, like DEI training and I believe, sexual harassment training done for board members. So I just wanted to, I know y'all can't answer, to me, but I just wanted to, I guess, see what is the situation with that. Maybe posting something on the website would be good because I think people would be really interested in knowing, that the board is doing that. I know that you'll find a lot of support from our listeners for those kinds of trainings for our board members. And I also want to say that I think that in-person meetings should be happening again. Yeah, there's many reasons for that, which I can go into, but I won't bore y'all because I think they're really obvious. And there's no reason why KPFT is still having Zoom or teleconference meetings. Everything's pretty much back to normal. I understand that we have to take precautions like masks and stuff like that, but for the sake of the public being able to attend, and this is a community radio station, and obviously with the new station, it would be really great to have meetings there. So I just want to throw that out there in case y'all haven't considered that yet. I really think we should be having public in-person meetings again. So that's all I have to say, and thank you all for your work.
Thank you. Are there any other public comments at this time?
Yes. Can everybody hear me? Yes.
Yes.
Ken, who is this? Oh, that's okay. Just you're a member of the public. Please go ahead.
Okay. I believe I was recognized a little bit earlier. That's Nancy. I heard Susan say, and then Susan said Elaine came on, and I don't think Elaine was able to voice her thing. And then you started talking about other members started talking about, like Teresa was talking about things. But this time from 8 to 8:30 is only for public comments, so I should not have been skipped like that. That's I'm just saying maybe you got excited and just forgot that. What I'd like to say about hiring, all hires, the PMB passed a resolution that any hire, even a replacement, needs to have the PMB permission. And that's that was done, I cannot remember when. It was when Lydia Brazan was the IED. Anyway, so please make sure you check with the PMB before you hire anybody. No one should have been hired without the PMB permission, even for replacements. The other thing I want to say is these committee, local committees that we have, the conveners need to make a script for the announcement of the meetings and need to be sent to Howard so he can put them on. So the public knows and the listeners know that there are committees because they are welcome and they can have membership in these committees. These local committees should not be just board members. It should be open to the public. So please do that, Lyndon, for the finance. And of course, the public cannot have a vote in finance, but they certainly can come and do public comment. And I think Richard is doing governance. Governance had, 2 years ago, it was suspended completely by the board, this local station board, as being not important, that fundraising was more important. So we had no governance committee 2 years ago, and last year we only met like three times and then it was canceled. So that's not a governance committee that has that kind of a record of attendance. Please let's be dedicated and do these committees. And I wanted to say something. This is a very important position, secretary of the LSB, and we have a newbie and thank you, Rob Lee, for taking this very, very important position, secretary in any committee and any board has so much work and so much, things to do. I mean, especially the PMB secretary has so many things to do, but, you've got to send the local station, board secretary needs to send the contact information of all the board members to the PMB secretary. And if that's not done, then the local station board members will not be getting their automatic reminders from OTIS. And those reminders really are helpful, to remind you the time and the day of the meeting. They come like a little bit in advance, a few days in advance, then the day of. And so, if they're not sent, and, I was not sent, last year, all last year, I did not get reminders, and this is not good for attendance. So, Rob, please, take all the contact information and send it to the, PMB secretary, who is currently, Nancy Sorden, but it will change at the, next month. And then all the national committees, that you, this board is going to elect, please explain about the committee and the committee work, and anybody who's interested, run for these committees. Well, these people who are voted, their contact information also needs to be sent to the national, secretary, that they are on the programming or the governance, the national program or the national governance or the national elections or the national audit committee. I forgot what else there is. So if you're not doing those things, then, our members do not get automatic reminders and they may miss the meetings. So that was a problem last year. Please don't let that happen again. We have to have our people there to represent us. I'm glad to hear Galveston, I'm glad to hear there's no rent to pay. I mean, we were paying, never mind. I'm glad we don't have to pay anything for that. This election that's coming up, is a real, important, and I know for these new board members, it must be a shock that on your very first meeting, you had to, you know, elect officers and you didn't even know who the people were. And now you have to elect the most important representatives of this station. You're going to hear tonight and make questions and ask. And, maybe later on, I think I recommend all candidates for the PMB give a written email, campaign for your position and send it to all the board. This present board, and so that you may want to say more things that can be said in 90 seconds, I'm sure. And I would like to say, I'd like to tell you a little bit about Adriana Casanave that you may not know. You may have a little trouble understanding her accent because you're not European, or you're not in a area where you hear an accent that's a blended accent, because she has four languages, three in her house, as she was raised with three languages. And so the accent is different. And we Americans are used to no accents, you know, or just maybe one. So it will take time, but you'll get used to it. And she's a very important board member, in my opinion, to represent KPFT. You know, she was in 2013, she was elected, and 2014, she became a first PMB director. And she was the first director to do a financial inspection of KPFT. No other board, national board members had ever done that at KPFT. And when you are a PMB director, you have a right to do an inspection of the station. And Adriana did, and she was not satisfied. And she went to all five stations and to the national, and she did her own inspection on her own dime. And as a result of this, she found out, you know, things are not quite clear or transparent at all as far as finance is concerned. I mean, it's like She found a $30,000 overpayment to a KPFD staff. That's a lot of money. And now I'm hearing an echo. Can somebody make sure they don't have their, yeah, please mute. Anyway, this was money was recovered because she found it. Okay, could everybody mute if you're not talking? Otherwise, there's going to be an echo. So this money was recovered. That if she had not done that, if she had not gone to the National, she would not have found that money. And how many times has this happened, and maybe in other stations? We just don't have good financial transparency in Pacifica. There should be a way that every single donation that comes in and every single expense that goes out be posted publicly. Then people can see, oh, there's my donation. It went in a certain day, how much? And it does not have to be with the name, and should not. It could be with the membership number so that each member can see their amount of money coming in and can see other people's money coming in, but they don't know the names. It's just with a membership number or maybe with a code name. But until we get this kind of very important information posted, we're not going to have financial transparency. We're not going to have a pressure on the bookkeeper or the accountant or the manager to have it clean. Because if there's a mistake found, you know, the bookkeeper could lose their job and their reputation. So you need that pressure of transparency. All right. So also, Adriana found a check, a canceled check for one of our board members. You know, board members are volunteers, and the bylaw says when you're a board member, you cannot receive money except for some reimbursement, like you bought something that needed to be done or paid for something, but you're reimbursed. That's different, but you should not be paid for your volunteer work. And we have a member on this board who was not a member at a certain time and volunteered to do the secretary of the PMB. And then he gave an invoice for over $2,000 and wanted to be paid and did not turn over the minutes. So this member who now is on this board, I mean, Adriana found a check to. And so we had a trial. We had a trial. It was a public, open to the public. And Richard,
that's not true. That is not true.
Had 11 votes to remove him.
Mr. Chair, no names. No names by Nancy or anyone.
This is an open meeting. You can find it. It's 2015. I'll send you the more details.
You do not make names.
Listen to it yourself. It was open meeting. Okay. I wish you would not let her interrupt like that, Chair. Okay. And then, you know, we don't know how much this kind of thing has happened, because KPFA, they had a bank account with $305,000. Nobody knew they had that account. This is, you know, and then making jokes or suggesting, because a former member was at the last year, suggested that we make a bank account and not tell the PMB about it, just have it privately, just like what KPFA had done. You know, this is maybe going on and should not. So that's why we need to post everything. I hope this board takes this point very seriously, because, you know, it's really hard to promote people to join KPFD when I know there's money, there's inside stealing, and there's no pressure not to steal. If you have posted things, then there's a pressure not to steal. But if you don't have things posted, it's so disingenuous to the membership. And we represent and we fight for and we stand as an LSB, for the membership.
So
I would like you to please vote for Adriana Casanave. She went way beyond. She hired, oh wait, somebody mute who's mute, not muted. She also hired a lawyer to help her, and she hired a financial expert to help her. She was on the national board. She was on the national finance committee too. So we saved 30,000. But you know what? She really, really, really is dedicated. And I want you to please consider seriously voting for her. What else did I want to say? Oh yeah. We still have problems with the programming on the HD2 and that show, Thomas Jefferson, that same episode has gone on for a whole year. And you know, they're talking about one of the hosts is wearing Christmas wear. Somebody talking. And already Christmas, the second Christmas has passed. And that same show was on today. I mean, when are we going to we need to have a programming committee and have open to the membership so we can get input of what they want and what they would like and what the, you know, we need to have a programming committee. You know, that same episode for a whole year. I mean, come on. Every week, the same show. And I have already told this board before, but still it's not getting tended to. And there are other shows in Pacifica that we could be airing on our HD2 channel instead of the same episode of Thomas Jefferson for over a year. It's the Christmas one, just before Christmas.
Thank you, Nancy.
Last year's Christmas.
Thank you, Nancy. It is 8:30 by my computer on the atomic clock that is the Googler. I will say this, although it is 8:30 and the time for public comment has expired, nonetheless, Captain Tom has patiently waited while the last speaker talked for a minute. So Captain Tom, do you have something you'd like to say?
Mr. Chair, I'm withdrawing my public comment for now. I was going to remind the chair that we needed to move on.
And it is 8:30. So,
personal privilege.
Yes, sir.
The last speaker on the public comment was saying a lot of things that weren't true, and she was slandering people, and I don't think that should be. I don't think that's right.
Yeah, and I'm not going to say you're wrong, but I will say that's not actually a point of personal privilege. It is 8:30, and by means of the agenda, we will move to the delegates meeting to nominate 2024 PNB representatives.